You know, there's an interesting battle going on, and it's sometimes surreal to believe. Is it Twilight Zone-esque, do you think? Maybe. I think this could be our Twilight Zone of the week.
You're traveling through another dimension. A dimension not only of sight and sound, but of mind. A journey into a wondrous land whose boundaries are that of imagination. That's the signpost up ahead. Your next stop, the Twilight Zone.
That's right, folks. Our Twilight Zone of the Week. I just decided to do a Twilight Zone of the Week on this off. You know, we talk about pork barrel spending all the time and how it is ridiculous and how it's like, oh, why should I, a resident of Michigan, pay in any way, shape, or form for a museum in New York? Why? That's not what my tax dollar should be doing. I'm never going to visit that museum. Why should I pay for it? So, you know, whatever. And you think that it's such an ugly thing, pork barrel spending, and it consumes so much money. And Nancy Pelosi sweeps into the Capitol building with her Democratic cronies, and they decide they're going to toughen up on it. Yet we're still battling it out, and we've got representatives like James Clyburn who believe that it is mandated in the Constitution for us to pork barrel spend. That it is apparently a constitutional mandate for the Congress to spend money on random crap in bills that have nothing to do with the random crap they're spending money on. And thank God for Senator Jim DeMint, who is out of South Carolina, who I've mentioned before. He's a young senator. He's been a representative before. He's maybe a senator since 2005 or 2006 or something like that. And he's someone I think that I would look on the horizon to be a vice presidential contender or a presidential contender because he speaks well, he knows his stuff, and he is totally 100% against pork and is doing an amazing job to tackle a problem. And they were at some, I don't know, meeting about something or other. They're on a stage talking. And Clyburn starts going off about how it is a mandate by the Constitution for us to spend pork money, and he gets smacked down by Jim DeMint. Take a listen.
The problem is I don't think people know what an earmark is. In the first place, it's a constitutional mandate given to the Congress of the United States. I wonder why it's a problem for Congress that has a mandate from the Constitution to reserve decision-making on 15% of a budget unto itself. That's what an earmark is. An earmark, you're not, if you got rid of earmarks, you're not going to say if you're dying. And I don't know why DeMint would say that. He will not save us one dime. So this stuff about if we get rid of earmarks, it's going to save us money, that is poppycock, and he knows it.
The other thing is it will save money. When you take away the incentives of congressmen and senators to vote for bills that are over budget, when we no longer have a financial incentive or political incentive to take money back to our districts or states, you will see Congress begin to focus on the good of the nation when you take away that political draw. There is no reason to vote for a bill that's over budget if it's not doing anything for your state. Most of the money that we're talking about, whether it's the administration or Congress, should not be spent anyway by the federal government. And one way to get Congress to do the right oversight over the administration, which is our role, is to stop micromanaging how money is spent and to tell the administration, whether it's Republican or Democrat, whether they're spending it the right way.
Will you yield? May I read to you Article 1, Section 8?
If you'll read the whole thing.
I'm going to read you Article 1, Section 8 of the United States Constitution. The Congress shall have the power to lay and collect taxes, duties, imports, and excises, to pay the debts and provide for the common defense and general welfare of the United States.
Mm-hmm.
That's the Congress.
You see Section 9 of there, it'll tell you.
Article 1, Section 9. No money shall be drawn from the Treasury, but in consequence of appropriation made by law.
By law.
The Congress is the only one that can appropriate money.
Let's do it by law.
The cannot appropriate. It is the law.
It's not the law the way we do it. The Congressional Research Service says it is not the law the way we do earmarks.
Okay, that's the Constitution. He says we couldn't quote the Constitution. I just did.
Well, and Congressional Research Service says that our earmarks are not according to law, so it violates the Constitution.
All right. You know, Clyburn says something interesting in there. that 15% of a budget onto itself is to be determined by Congress. It's interesting. It's up to... Here's the thing. Is what happens is this, the president will draft his proposed budget for fiscal year, whatever. He'll give it to Congress. Congress will sift through it. They'll make changes. A lot of times, and this came up when... Well, never mind. But a lot of times, he'll make changes. For example, he might say, I want $39 billion to go to the Department of Transportation, and the Congress says, well, we'll give them $41 billion, or we'll give them less, we'll give them more, whatever. That's where this 15% of a budget onto itself comes in. And you're not required... It's not like the Constitution says you have to do this budget 15% onto itself. It's not required for you to do a 15% budget onto itself. It's up to 15% onto itself. Furthermore, appropriations by law, I'm almost 100% positive, would not include a Woodstock Museum in New York, for example. That would not be defined as an appropriation by law. That's not what that means. I think we're a little confused here. It's all on how we interpret the Constitution, right? And how do we interpret the Constitution? Well, the Supreme Court does that. But we also look at... our founding fathers. And our founding fathers, for example, in 1792, Alexander Hamilton, conveying what he believed to be the public's perceptions of government, this was a 1972 letter to Hamilton. George Washington wrote it. He cited worries about the, quote, increase in the mass of debt which had furnished effectual means of corrupting such a portion of the legislature as turns the balance between the honest voters. Hamilton, who famously clashed with Jefferson and Madison on fiscal matters, responded that every session the question whether the annual funding provision should be continued would be an occasion of pernicious caballing and corrupt bargaining. Also, there's more to it, and I'll link to it, but there's also letters that Thomas Jefferson sent. A letter to James Madison regarding federally funded local projects, Jefferson wrote, other revenues will soon be called into their aid, and it will be the source of external scramble among the members who can get the most money wasted in their state. And they will always get the most who are the meanest. Anyone who has observed the recent tantrums of those who have had their pork challenge knows that Jefferson's statement was sadly prophetic. They knew back then this was going to happen. They knew that these people were going to waste money, as Jefferson said, scramble to waste money in their state. Waste money. If it was constitutionally mandated, why would Jefferson call it wasting money in their state? Plain and simple.